Hello, this is AJ, welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is Sunday, January the 25th, 2013. This is TQP number 25, Where to Start. Well, I'm just going to start at the present. Like I said, today is Sunday, and I know most of you out there think I may have pod faded. However, I have not. I just have not gotten around to doing a podcast. Time, holidays, what can I say? Life happens. Well, I'm going to go back just a tad bit, back until the end of 2012. During the Christmas holiday, I had to work 12 hours both on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So needless to say, I really didn't have a Christmas. My daughter was planning on coming down or coming up to see me. However, since I was going to be working, which I consider both as holidays, it was no need for her to do that. So I have decided to go and see her next weekend in combination with a quilt show that is going on in Orlando, Florida, in which I am planning to go to. So I'm not quite sure what the quilt show is or who's putting it on. I'll find out that information and insert it in the end of the podcast so you'll hear some different sound qualities. And within this podcast, you'll probably hear different sound qualities anyway, because I will be doing it in segments. Today, Bonnie Hunter is going to be doing her quilt cam. I have kind of become a follower of her quilt cam episode. So every time that she has one and I can make it, I try to be there. So today she'll be on starting at 2 o'clock. So this podcast recording will be interrupted so I can enjoy that. And I guess the fondness of the quilt cam, it gives me the feeling of being at a quilt retreat, because I can watch her sew, whether she's using whichever vintage machine she's using. She answers questions and comments on people's responses on her blog or her Gmail account. So it's kind of like having people sew with you, which I like, because as you know, I'm here in Georgia by myself. I really don't have any quilty friends, so kind of gives me that retreat feel, and I like it. I do belong to two quilt groups here, two quilt guilds. However, they're really not convenient for me. One meets on a weekday night, so that gives me just enough time to get home, feed my babies, and turn around and drive back from the area I just left. So that's not conducive to me. Requires too much traveling. The other one meets on a Saturday. However, there's not a lot of people in that group, even my age, should I say. And I'm no spring chicken, so I'll just leave that to your thoughts. And they do a lot of things that I've already done, a lot of techniques that they're bringing out or showing within the guild or things that I have already done. So it's kind of like they're behind a little bit. Good news is there is the potential for starting up a Savannah Modern Quilt Guild. It will just be the beginning portions to get together to see what we want to do, how we're going to do this, what days we want to meet. Right now is 2 days out. One's a weekday night and one's a weekend day. Of course, I opted for the weekend day. I'm kind of hoping that comes to fruition. However, we did get a contact right before the holidays, and I think she was waiting for things to settle down post-holiday season. So I am not sure when we will be having our get-together, our initial get-together. So I'm hoping that works out. So back to Bonnie Hunter. Speaking of her, she is an enabler like many of you out there, and I'll say two names, and I'll be talking about those two names in just a bit, one being Tanisha and the other one being Katie. That's all I'm going to say about that. But today, I have chosen a Bonnie Hunter project, so anytime that I am listening to her or watching her on Quilt Cam, it's a project that I will be working on. Today, I will be working on Easy Street. That is not going to always be the project, but that's what I'm going to be working on today. My chosen Bonnie Hunter project will have to be something that is very mindless and not need any precision piecing, because it's kind of hard to look at her on the iPad, so I don't have the interruptions of the breakthroughs of the commercial while I'm responding on the MacBook. So I have one open watching her. I have one open so I can respond. And I am choosing to do her String Geese quilt, the latest one she posted. It was inspired by an antique quilt that she picked up. And I know Tanisha is not fond of flying geese, nor is Pam, but Pam tolerates them. I'm not quite sure about Katie, because Katie likes scrappy quilting. I'm kind of getting on that bandwagon of scraps, and it just seems to be something to do. You know, I'm always trying something. Whether I stick to it or not is a different story. But the String Geese quilt that she posted looks very easy. It's just long rows of string geese made out of shirtings. I've been collecting men's shirts and deboning them. I learned how to debone the shirts from her YouTube channel. So I've been going to Goodwill and different thrift shops and yard sales to see what I can find. The other thing about Bonnie Hunter, two other things, and then I'm going to move on. First one is the vintage sewing machines. I don't know. I don't really have money to blow. I don't know why I do what I do, but I did it anyway. I purchased a few vintage sewing machines. I thought it would be neat to actually do a quilt top from start to finish using a treadle sewing machine. And that is why I will be working on my String Geese quilt today. Not during Quilt Cam, but that's what I'm using. I'm using my treadle to do my String Geese quilt. So since I'm going to be upstairs in my craft room, I really can't do that work on those quilt blocks, because the treadle sewing machine is a little heavy to go upstairs. And like I said, I'm by myself. I can't take it upstairs. What I do have upstairs is my machine that was the freebie when I bought the treadle. I got the treadle from Sumter, South Carolina. I drove about an hour and a half, 2 hours to pick it up. The cabinet was very dark. For those of you who follow me on Twitter or look at my blog on occasion, you will see the cabinet and what it looked like. Since then, I have kind of restored the cabinet a little bit. It's not no way by any stretch of the means a professional restoration, but I'm liking it. So it's a lot brighter than it was, some of the original woodworking. It's a tiger oak pattern. And I love oak. I brought it a little bit back to life. It's not dark and dreary looking. I was going to restore the cabinets, drawers. However, I did take them apart, took them off, and started the restoration. But then I decided that restoring woodwork is not something that I enjoy doing, so I immediately went to eBay to see if I could find any. Well, I did find a set. It's three drawers on each side. It was already stained. It was close to the color that I had restored the original part of the cabinet to. Got them in the mail, got them put on. However, I did have to make new holes because, of course, the holes that are in the holder of the drawers did not fit the holes that were already in my tabletop. So I had to do some pilot holes and then screw the drawers into the tabletop. So I do like it. I have one more thing to do to it, and then I will be finishing it. It does not have a drawer in the front to cover the dust cover, which is the thing that protects. Once you fold it down, it protects the machine from getting dust from the bottom portion. So it looks like a little belly almost. So I don't have drawers for that. A drawer for that. So what I am going to do, I have some Luan in my garage. I'll just get out my little old scroll saw and get out my scroll saw and then cut it down to the size I need. I did measure the opening, and I will just, like I said, cut that Luan. I have some veneer that I will face that with and then stain it to match the cabinet. And then I'll just put a few couple of nails on either side, hammer them in, and it'll be a fake, well, it'll be a solid little drawer front. So you cannot see inside where the machine rests. Usually there's a drawer there, but there's not. And I will probably see if I can get some kind of little wooden applique to put up there and stain that as well once I get all of that done. But it's steady work in progress. I'm not sure if I have a picture of the table with the drawers attached. I will put it on my blog at some point between now and tomorrow, probably being Monday the 28th. But needless to say, I'm happy with it. It's not all original to the original cabinet, but like I said, it's good. Now, the sewing machine that is sitting in it is a 1922-66K. It has Lotus decals. And for the most part, they're perfect. On the bed of the machine, they're kind of worn, but it works anyway. I'm happy with it. I did put a belt on it. It runs well. The only thing I'm not sure of, the treadle kind of clickety-clacks. And it could be because it's not tightened enough or what, but I'll work on that at a later date. I have now named her. She was born on August the 1st, 1922, as I said. So I looked up names for that year. I chose Virginia because Virginia is where I was born and raised. So I thought that would be a fitting name. And to shorten that, because I think Virginia is too plain, I decided to name her Miss Jenny. So Miss Jenny is being used now to do the string geese for the quilt that was inspired by Bonnie Hunter. I'm going to have to stop now. It's 1:56, and I am going upstairs to set up for quilt cam, and I will be back in a second. Bye. Oh, no, it's not bye. Okay, I'm back. It's 4:40 now, and I just finished probably within the last 10 minutes signing off with Bonnie Hunter from Quilt Camp. So it was good. It only lasted an hour and a half today, which still was good for me. While I was watching her, I only managed to get two more of Block B. I think it's Block B of Easy Street, put together. I can't really understand why it's taken so long to put a block together. I guess because it's so many little pieces. I think that is the whole problem I'm having, is the so many little pieces. But I will finish this quilt. So I have one more Block B. I think that's the one with the 9 identical blocks. And then I will start on the 16 that I have to put together. God knows how long that's going to take me. So I figure slow and steady wins the race. At some point, I will get it done this year. I'm not going to say this month or next month, but it will be this year. I will have Easy Street done. So next on my list was her mystery that's coming up in the March-April issue of Quilt Magazine. So if you hadn't heard about that, go and take a look at it. I will put the name of it in the show notes at some point. I signed up just to get the magazine so that I could be part of the mystery quilt. She said it's not really like Easy Street, but it does have some parts of Easy Street. So I am doing I'm doing a quilt now that has a lot of little teeny blocks and complaining. Yet I have signed up or gained interest in another quilt that I know is going to have a lot of little teeny pieces in it. I had started Orca Bay way back, but I gave up on that right at the beginning. But I will finish Easy Street, and I'll take a look at the next mystery to see if I want to start that project or just collect the magazines. And then I'll have the project at my hand at whatever time I decide to start it. So more so the latter than the earlier comment, but I still want to do it. So enough about Bonnie Hunter and her scrappy quiltness. Next, I want to talk about Tanisha. I listened to one of Tanisha's podcasts. I'm so far behind on listening to podcasts, you wouldn't believe it. But I listened to one the other day. Can't remember when. But she was talking about art quilting and Susan Carlson and how she likes art quilting and not really flying geese. But enough about flying geese, Tanisha. It is what it is. So I immediately went on Amazon and ordered Serendipity Quilts Cutting Loose Fabric Collage. And I thumbed through it and looked at it. She has some of her designs that she talks about in her book. She has the pattern in her book. So if you want to do it, her design, you have that opportunity with whatever color choices you choose. I had already headed out to buy the Aileen's Tacky Glue. I used that long, long time ago. I can't remember why I was using Aileen's Tacky Glue, but I have used it in the past, and it is a good fabric kind of glue. So just want to give a shout out to Tanisha for enabling me to try to venture into the world of art quilts. I don't know. Some things that she comes up with, meaning Tanisha, I don't know how she does that. I don't think that way. I'm a pattern person. I'm not as much as a free art, freelance kind of person that can think it and put it on paper or put it in fabric. I have to have something that inspires me. I still plan on making her little owl that she did. That was in the quilt magazine. As soon as I can find the quilt magazine. I have so many magazines. I'm so unorganized. You should just see my craft room. You should just see my house in general. I got stuff everywhere. Now in my living room, I got the treadle machine. I have brought the fabric from my craft room and from my bedroom. It is now spilling over into my living room, in which people come, the very few that come. But this is the first room they see when they walk in my house. So what I think I'm going to do, because my treadle is going to live down here, it's just easier. What I think I'm going to do is clean out the closet that's down here, which really doesn't have anything in it. It's supposed to be a coat closet, I guess. But I'm going to clean it out and put some of my bins in there and hopefully utilize that closet as storage for when I'm piecing down here on a treadle machine. I am still trying to get used to it. The starting is a little difficult. Still have to turn the hand wheel to get it started so I can feel which way the pedal is going. I have found that if I put my right foot at the very top at a very gentle pace, when I turn, very gentle touch, when I turn the hand wheel, I can feel which way it goes. And for me, I have to use the tip of my toes to pedal the bottom left portion of it. So I read on Treadle On that when treadling, if you're right-handed, your right foot is supposed to be at the top and your left foot is supposed to be at, your right foot is supposed to be at the top right, your left foot is supposed to be at the bottom left. Well, I tried that and I was getting some jerky movements. So I have discovered with my big clodhoppers that if I put the back third of my foot at the top right, my right foot at the top right, and just the front quarter of my left foot, meaning my toes, at the bottom left, then I have a very fluid movement of my presser foot or my feed dog. So that works well for me. So I'm getting the hang of it. Starting, like I said, is a little touchy. Stopping, I can stop it. Can I stop it with the needle down 100% of the time? No. Have I tried to stop it, move my hand to feed more fabric in there, and it was still going because of the momentum? Yes, I've done that several times. And if you start it and it starts going backwards, then it pops your thread. So it is a learning curve. I have threaded this needle, which threads from left to right instead of front to back, several times. It has a slant presser foot and it screws on from the back. So it's kind of neat. I have wound a bobbin on it. It is kind of like not a real old fashioned bobbin with the long little bobbins, the long stretched out skinny bobbins. Haven't done that yet, but I do have a machine that it has that kind of bobbin mechanism on it. I'm still working on that one. But anyway, so I digress. I'm still talking about my machine. So I have the treadle, and that was 1922. I bought another Singer. It was a 66, and it came from, it was local in the city in which Fort Stewart is located. So maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, it was local to me. So I purchased it. It came with this cabinet. I started out trying to strip that cabinet, ran into some problems. It's still in my garage, but I will get to it to try to strip it. The stuff that I use, I have learned that you cannot leave it on a long time or it becomes a rock. So I have to basically sand everything down as opposed to stripping it with this orange citrus stripper that I've been using, which is pretty good. So I have my 66, and I did play with that when I first got it. So now I have two 66s, and I got a 99K with the other machine that was in the original treadle cabinet, which was another 66, and I can't remember what design it is, but it was in such bad shape. I've been reading up on how to get all of this caked on color without losing the goldness of the decals. I did take the hand wheel and the treadle cover off, tried to clean it, and of course, in doing so, the gold decals that was on the treadle cover is now silver. So I decided to stop monkeying around with that one before I went to the machine proper. Decided to put that one on the back burner. So when all is said and done, let me back up one more time. The little 99K that came as a freebie, her name is B. She was born on my mother's birthday. I can't give you exact year right now because hold on one second. I'm going to flip some pages for just a second so you might hear it. I can't tell you the exact date, I don't think, but I can tell you the machine that I got locally was a 1948 Singer And its birth date was November the 26th. It's a 6616 in its own little cabinet. But when I got the 99K, her name is Annie B. That was my mother's name. She's no longer with us, so I just call her B. So when I got B, B didn't have a case. She was just a machine head. So I wanted to get a vintage case. I was watching one on eBay, put my name in or put my bid in at the last minute for my maximum. And don't you know, I lost it. But that case went for over $150. I don't know. I'm kind of glad that I lost it because I can't see paying that much for a case. With that said, I was watching the Bentwood cases, which is the bottom is flat, but the top part of the case is a dome shape. So I was watching that, and then I saw one on eBay, and I was looking at the dimensions, but for the sewing machine that I had, it had to be a certain height because some of them were made a little different, and they all didn't fit in the Bentwood case. So I finally found one on eBay to watch that would fit my machine. Oops, hold on. That is my oven. Okay, back to the cabinet. Oh, not the cabinet, the case. So I was watching this case on eBay. And the case had a machine in it, and I really didn't need the machine, but I wanted the case. And I had to find a Bentwood case that had the knee lift hole in the front of it, because that would have been one that was deep enough for B. So I watched it, and of course I won it, and it was a lot cheaper than paying over $150 for a vintage case. It is still a vintage case. However, it is not the one that kind of resembles a featherweight case, but a little bigger. Well, a lot bigger, actually. So I did win it, and I got the machine home. And of course, it's a 99, has different decals on it. And I guess my 99K was made in Scotland, and the 99s without the K were made more in, I think that's how it goes, made more in the United States. The K represents another, it represents it was not made in the United States. That's what, all I'm going to say. So I think that's how it goes, though. The 99, I think my machine was made in Scotland. So needless to say, I ended up with a 99K, a 6616, and a 66. And then I have the 1910 cabinet, that machine head that is so caked with stuff that I don't know if I'm ever going to get it functioning. And that's another treadle. I'm still going to try. If I can't, the things that I can take off of it and clean up, I may put it on eBay for sale myself. Now, the problem with having the extra 99 is that I don't have a case or a table for it. So now I am on the hunt for a 3/4 table, either another treadle or a regular table that my 99 will fit in. Yet the quest goes on. If I don't find another table, I will probably put it on eBay for sale because I really only wanted the case, but the winning bid was a lot less, a whole lot less than the empty case. So I got a machine and a case when I really only wanted a case for a decent amount. So that's the story of my new vintage sewing machines, and I want to thank Bonnie Hunter for that part of it. Now, next on my list is Katie's Quilting Corner. I've been following up, reading her tweets, reading her blog. I know the deal with her that happened, how she ended up with Kismet and the Viking that she had. And I understand her. Trust me, I understand her pain. I own a Viking. And it is a Viking Designer SE. Actually, I have two Vikings. I have an older version. It was a Viking Rose. And back in that day, it only did a 4x4 embroidery. I think that was the biggest I could do on that, was a 4x4. And I still have it. I'm contemplating selling it. It has its own little embroidery module. So since I had such good luck with my original Viking, I stayed within Viking. My dream machine was a Bernina. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I guess because everybody in my quilt guild at that time had a Bernina. But I got such a good deal on my Viking, I went Viking. I always wanted a Bernina. So my Designer SC has been fine. I haven't had any problems with it. I did have a couple of problems with my pressure foot sensor on my older model. But after that was corrected, I didn't have a problem with it. The thing that I can say in reference to my Vikings, that I did buy it from reputable dealers, not a dealer within a Joann store. So maybe that could have been a part of it. I'm not sure. And my dealer, when I had the problem with my previous Viking, didn't have a problem with doing anything that I needed to repair it. I hate to hear that Katie has had such a difficult time with Viking. My experience, unlike hers, was much more positive and had a positive outcome. And I hate that she had to go through what she went through because those machines, they're expensive. They're computerized. And technology nowadays is not cheap to fix. And when you have someone that don't want to stand behind their products, then I have a problem with that. So Katie, hopefully you get some kind of resolution with Viking at some point in your lifetime and in my lifetime so that I can hear at least that it comes to a positive end. Now, with that said, I'm going to go to the Bernina. I bought a Bernina online through eBay probably about a year, or probably 2 years ago now, shortly after I came from Iraq. And my Bernina was going fine. I moved here. It was doing fine. Now, all of a sudden, my 440 QE is having problems. It's had its service. And it was fine. And then all of a sudden I would be sewing. And when I would stop to do something or adjust something, the computer screen would go blank. And foot pedal wouldn't work. Nothing would work. So I'd have to literally reboot the machine. I'd have to turn it off, turn it back on. And then it would sew again. But as soon as I leave it idle, my screen will go blank. So I took it in. I didn't buy it from this Bernina, so I'm not Bernina dealer. I'm not slamming this person. I'm not slamming Bernina. I bought it from eBay. When you buy things from eBay, you get what you get. But it has served me well up until now. So it is in its case in the closet until I decide on what I want to do with it. But so I took it back to the local Bernina dealer here and told them about it. They kept it. The person, you know, checked it out. It wouldn't duplicate for them. So I brought it back home after about 3 or 4 days. And I hooked it all back up and I started sewing with it. And it did fine for a couple of days and then the screen would go out. So I decided this time, it's like when you have something wrong with your car, you take it to the shop. They can't find it. It doesn't reproduce. And so you're standing there looking like an idiot. So I decide, okay, next time it does it, I am going to videotape it using my phone. So I was sewing along and the screen went out. I said, oh, Kodak moment. So what I did was I rebooted it. I turned it on and it came on. The screen was on. Everything was fine. It was all was right with the world. And I just sat there and I was videoing it. Or I was taping it. And then the screen went blank. I'm like, see, This is, and I said, this is what happens. And then I cut it off and cut it back on again. And then I was sewing with it and it was going fine. And then I stopped, videotaped it, and the screen went blank. And so I took my phone and I showed them the problem. Took it to the shop that day. They ran it for 20 minutes straight with no problems. They stopped 10, 15 minutes in between running it. Never shut off. So I don't know if there is a bad computer chip in there. I did do some research and there was something, but it's computer related that can be purchased from Bernina to be replaced. I don't know what the part is. I'd have to look it up again. Do I want to spend that much money? I don't know. So right now, until I decide to what I'm going to do with it, it is sitting in the closet. So I know that's a lot of talk about vintage machines, Bonnie Hunter, and Viking. So I'm going to move away from the machines now, and I'm going to get to Katie. Back to Katie and a more positive side, away from the machine side. I've been following Katie and listening to her podcast and looking at her crayon work. Well, I have since then purchased some Crayola crayons, and I have purchased a book from that patchwork place called Creative Quilt from Your Crayon Box, and it's by Terry Lynn Kiger. I would like to do it. I'm going to see what happens. I think this is the same book that Katie has. I haven't tried it yet. Along with Tanisha's, it's a project in the making. We'll see what happens. So this will be something that I would like to do at some point in my quilting career. So I have talked for quite a bit. I'm not sure what else I had planned on talking about because I really didn't have a script. I did write down a few things, and the things that I had written down, I have already discussed. So, oh, yeah. Next weekend, the weekend, February 1st and 2nd, I will be taking a trip to Orlando, Florida for that quilt show. I'm going to pause this right here so that I can find the name of the guild or the name of the show for those that live in the local area and may be deciding to come up. But I will be down, spend a few days with my daughter, and throw a quilt show in at the same time. So hang on till I can get that information for you. Okay, I'm back. It is Florida Cabin Fever Quilt Guild. They are the one that's putting on the quilt show, and it's going to be held at Central Florida Fairgrounds. So if you're in the area, I will be going. It looks like it's going to be a nice guild. It starts on Friday. It's from 9 to 5 on Friday. And I believe it's from either 9 to 5 or 10 to 5 on Saturday. I plan on going. I will be driving down on Friday, headed straight for the quilt guild show. The quilt show. I'll do the quilt show floor shopping. And by that time, either my grandson will be home from, well, he will be home from school, or my daughter will be home from work. So I'll probably be there and trying to leave right at rush hour traffic. And in Florida at certain points, there is a lot of traffic to deal with in Central Florida. I used to lived there for about a year. So I'm kind of used to the traffic. Living in D.C., most traffic that I've been in is nothing compared to D.C., but that's a whole nother story. But anyway, if you're in Central Florida, go to the Central Florida Fairgrounds because there's going to be a quilt show on the 1st and the 2nd of February. Last but not least, I'd like to give some shout-outs. These shout-outs go all the way back to October 2012. So I'm going to roll off my tongue the list of names that have left me a comment on my Blogger blog site. So here we go. Sandra B., Shelley, Sarah Martin, Rosemary, Gleska Gal, Mary, Andy with two E's, Varea, Tammy C., Loretta 6, Jackie, Debbie, and Mary Wagner. Kevin the Quilter, Francis, art by Rhonda Forbes, Grit, Gator Mom, Meredith, Robin. Also, I went to iTunes to check to see if anybody had updated anything on iTunes, and I noticed there was a name that had given me an update, and it is T. Janine. So, I think I'm up to about 22 reviews on iTunes. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of those that have left me comments. Sorry it took me so long to give you a shout out. But as they say, better late than not at all. So, with that said, you can follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, as Nitty AJ. You can leave me comments at thequiltingpot.com. I knit the letter N, quilt the number 2.blogspot.com. And if you'd like, you can leave me a comment on iTunes or give me a iTunes review, as well as any other podcaster you may listen to, whether it be a Nitty podcast, a Quilty podcast, or whatever you might be into. I'm going to take you out of this podcast with a little longer version of my exit music. So, until next time, may all your seams be straight.